Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we welcome you to this edition of Tuesday People, the podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Albom, the author of the book Tuesdays with Maury, upon which this podcast is based and inspired and has now been going 4 years. Hard to believe. Lisa Goetz has been with us right from the beginning. She's the engine behind the show. The producer of our program. And I am actually doing today's program from Naples, Florida, because I am on a book tour for my new book, The Little Liar, which just came out a couple weeks ago, and I have been basically on the move and on the run. It's one of the reasons we've missed some weeks here, because it's almost impossible to get to the apparatus to be able to do the show. But it has been an incredible experience. I wrote a novel about a little boy whose honesty is used against him and how it follows him for 40 years as he tries to seek forgiveness and love from his family and from the girl who always loved him, even when he was little. And it's a story about redemption. It's a story about forgiveness. It's a story about hope. It's a story about truth. And the book is called The Little Liar. And I have to say that being out here on the road has been a great experience in and of itself, even with regard to Tuesdays with Maury. So when I speak, and wherever we go on the road, we talk about, you know, I go up and speak. It's not like a book signing tour. I go out and actually do like an hour-long speech. I talk about The Little Liar. I talk about, you know, I read from it, and I share some of the stories about it, the themes from it. And at every point, Lisa, in the talk, mm-hmm. I say, well, I'm going to talk a little bit about forgiveness now, because forgiveness is a huge part of The Little Liar and a big theme of the characters. And I say, I know something about forgiveness because I had a really good teacher. His name was Maury Schwartz. And every time I say that, you can feel like a ripple in the audience. I see smiles. I see people nodding like, okay, we're getting to the Maury part now. It's just kind of, you know, it's really beautiful. And I have to tell you, folks, and this is just going to be a short podcast because, you know, we're in the middle of racing out. I'm actually doing it at an airport in an office, and then we're flying on to another city. But I so wanted to do this because I want to thank the people who come out and see me on these tours, who come out to meet me and stand in long lines at bookstores or at speeches or whatever, all to share with me some small anecdote about how Maury and the book Tuesdays with Maury somehow affected them. Now, I know a lot of well-known authors. I play in a band of authors with some really high-profile guys and have for the last 25, 26 years. So I don't mean guys. I say guys, meaning men and women. Stephen King, Amy Tan, Dave Barry, Ridley Pearson, Scott Turow, Greg Iles, James McBride, Frank McCourt played with us, many, many, many more. And
Carl Hyacin, didn't he play with you before?
Yeah, there's been a ton.
My guy.
And these people, we talk about our experiences on the road. And obviously, you know, somebody like Stephen King has way more readers than I do in terms of numbers. And I'm sure if he goes to a book sign or wherever, the line can be 10 times the size of the line that I'm going to necessarily see. But I never hear them talk about their readers talking to them about how the books that they wrote changed their life. And I hear that all the time. And I want to say to all of you who come up to me or who would come up to me if you had the chance, that I don't take that lightly. That means a lot to me, and I take it very, very seriously. If you are writing a book that people are going to say is, changes your life, then what you write next, you need to be careful about too, because people are looking to you for some kind of guidance or some kind of influence. And not that I deserve that or warrant that, but you have to recognize that if that's what it is, then you're responsible for it. And so the number of people who say, I didn't talk to my brother for years until I read Tuesdays with Maury, and I called him up immediately, or my father was dying from cancer, and when I read your book, you know, it gave me a new perspective, or we read it together, or after I lost my wife, you know, at a young age, I didn't want to go on, and then I read Tuesdays with Maury, and the part about death ends a life but not a relationship, and it opened my eyes to it. I mean, there are people who are telling me this through tears. They're telling me this shaking, you know, as they recall things. They take out photos and they show their photos to me. They hand me letters that are, they're saying, I can't say everything I want to say. Will you please read this? And I read these letters on the plane ride home, and they're so emotional and they're so moving. And I don't know how to say thank you. I mean, I don't even know what form of thank you is appropriate. It doesn't seem like there's a big enough thank you. It doesn't seem like there's a word that's large enough to express the gratitude that I feel, or the humility that I feel when people tell me these things, because it's not like I sit in a room and set out to, let me change somebody's life. I don't know what that means. I wouldn't even begin to know what that means. But in some way, these books that I've written, The Five People You Meet in Heaven, I hear that a lot about too, The Stranger in the Lifeboat, which I just wrote, you know, just before The Little Liar. I hear that about too. For whatever reason it is, and whatever gift I've been blessed with, to create stories that move people, I want to tell all of you how much that means to me when you come up and tell me that. And there are times when I sit at that little table, wherever it is, it'll be in a hallway, or it'll be in a room, or it'll be off to the side, or it'll be in a bookstore, and you get a moment's pause, Lisa, like you've just talked to 50 people who have all told you how much your books move them, or something about Maury, or something about a lesson that Maury said, or whatever. And then you get a break in the line. You know, someone's fidgeting with something for a moment. You get this break, and you're able to say to yourself, I am so lucky. I am so blessed. Like, you just take a breath in and out. You go, this is just amazing. And the only thing I wish is that, like, I wish that Maury was there, that he could see what was going on.
Yeah, to see what an influence he had on people.
Yeah.
So many years later.
And I came upon this. You know, we often play clips from my conversations with Maury back along his bedside, you know, every Tuesday. And I came upon this one that we haven't played before that kind of is a precursor to what was going to happen to me. He talked about how he was being interviewed by a friend of his on a show who asked him a very startling question once he found out that Maury had ALS and that Maury has decided that he's not going to go into a shell, not going to withdraw, not going to be bitter or angry, but instead to live as long and as well and as influentially as he could. And this is what Maury said.
So I decided I want to live. So Paul asked me this zinger of a question. Why did you want to choose a living? So I stopped and thought. I said, well, first of all, there are a lot of loving relationships that I had that I want to continue. A lot of things I want to teach, I think is worth teaching. A lot of things I want to learn are worth learning. There's a lot of love I have to give to other people who come into my orbit, a lot of compassion. And then I said, finally, when you're dead a long, long time. So he liked that crack.
And that's a great little quote, because it kind of sums up what Maury did, what he was like in his teaching, and it kind of sums up how I feel too. Like, if you say, well, why do you keep writing? You know, why do you write these types of books? Why do you write books that have some kind of meaning, or you try to move the audience or try to get them to, you know, take something away from it? Why didn't you write a spy thriller or a murder mystery or something like that? And a lot of what I find, I tell myself, is a lot of what Maury said. First of all, there's a lot of loving relationships that I want to continue. That's relationships that I have with my readers and with my audience and the people who are listening to us right now. There are a lot of things that I want to teach that I think are worth teaching. I finally reached the age where I feel like, okay, I'm old enough to do a little teaching now. Most of my life, I just kept feeling like I was a student. And when I say most of my life, I mean like into my early 60s. So, <Right. laughs> you know, I don't mean, you know, until I was 31. I mean through my 30s, through my 40s, through my 50s. People always, after Tuesdays with Maury, come up to me sometimes and they make a mistake. They say, you know, Maury, I want to, and I would say, I'm not Maury. Remember, I'm the stupid one. I'm the one asking the question. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I got that wrong. I never felt like Maury. I always felt like Mitch. I always felt like I was the student asking the naive questions or the simple questions, or and that Maury, I was looking for people like Maury to give me good answers, to give me more advice, to make me smarter, you know? And I finally reached that point in my life where I think, all right, I've seen enough now. I've been around enough. I've experienced enough. I've gone through enough with death, with dying, with kids and life, you know, all the sort of elements of the spectrum, that maybe I do have some things that I want to teach now and yep. I think are worth teaching. Then, as Maury said, there's a lot of things I want to learn that are worth learning. That's still true for me 100%. I mean, I still want to continue to learn from people, continue to learn as I write, continue to learn as I create things. What else is there? I mean, learning to me is like the driving force. If you ever think, like, there's that joke, I think it was, might have been New Yorker magazine or something, like a guy in front of a computer who's obviously been there forever, you know, like empty cups of coffee, all the rest of it. And the computer says, you have reached the end of the internet. Like, that's it. There's nothing left to search. You've done it. You've seen everything. I don't ever feel like I'm anywhere near there. You know, mm-hmm. There's so much more that I want to learn and so much more that I think is worth learning. And then, as Maury said, there's a lot of love I have to give to other people who come into my orbit, and a lot of compassion. And I feel that way, too. I write my books for people who I care about. You know, I write them that my family and friends and loved ones can read them and get something out of them and understand where I'm coming from. I write them for all the many readers who I've never met but who have written me or who have supported me, who I care about, who are in my orbit, as Maury says, to try to show them that I care and have compassion for the things that are important to them. And then, of course, as Maury says at the end, when you're dead a long time. So I'm trying to get all this stuff done right before I die, you know, because you're dead a long time.
You've done a good job, Mitch.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more Tuesday People right after this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Bravo Bros.
Good job.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
So I just want to thank, just use this podcast to thank everybody who's coming out on these tours. We have a few more stops left to go and different stores that we'll be doing, and even some in January that we'll be doing as well. As this particular book, The Little Liar, is very, very important to me. And I think it's a moving story, but I think it's an important story right now. And so I'm going to continue talking about it. But everybody, every one of you who has come up at one of these things or come and met me at a book signing or mailed in something or sent me a letter, I want you to know that I am so moved by it. I am so appreciative of it. And I never, ever, ever take it for granted. I always tell the story when I go to like a bookstore and I walk in and there's a big crowd at a bookstore. I always stand up on a chair. You know, I never like to sit down and start signing books. I always want to talk to everybody. And I usually stand up on a chair and I usually say the story about, I want to tell you about the first time I went out to a bookstore. I had a book, it was a collection book called Live Album of my columns for the Detroit Free Press. And they thought it would be a good idea to put together a collection book. I had been there about 3 or 4 years. And so we put together this book. It comes out, and they send me to a bookstore for a signing. And I go out to this bookstore, and they have a little table in the back. And I go and sit at this table in the back, and there is nobody there.
Oh, jeez.
Nobody.
Oh,
nobody geez. There at all. Nobody waiting.
I should
nobody
have been there. Now I feel guilty.
And I am booked for 2 hours.
Oh, no.
So after about 20 minutes, you feel so self-conscious that you are like, straightening up the pencils, or you're like picking up little pieces of lint off the floor, you know, just trying to look like there's a purpose for you being there other than this embarrassingly lonely writer with a stack of books that nobody's buying. And finally, a woman, probably I guess in her 50s or 60s, comes walking towards me sitting there with a big smile on her face. And I say, okay, at last, a customer. And she says, hi. And I say, hi. And she says, where are the cookbooks?
Oh.
and I never forgot that. I never forgot that. And I always tell the people in the stores now, I still live in sort of that semi fear of that's what the day's gonna be. It's where are the cookbooks, you know, and someone's gonna ask me, and that's why I'm here. So I don't ever take anything for granted. I don't assume that there's going to be people reading my books or assume that there's going to be crowds of people wherever I'm speaking. And it means the world to me to meet those people and to talk to them. So well, thank you. You know,
that's the perfect segue, Mitch, to the book contest we have to thank your readers and to thank our Tuesday people, right?
Right. Right. So we announced, you explained it to everybody. We announced a couple of weeks ago, right? We said that.
Yeah, a couple shows ago, we announced that we would have a book, a giveaway that Mitch so kindly just said he would sign, personally sign, and send 5 books to all of you. So we got, Mitch, well over 100 entries here for the book thing, a very successful book. Giveaway so far. So we're going to pull the 5 names right here live on air. Okay?
Okay, great.
So are you ready? Drum
yes.
roll, please. That's the fake drum roll. Okay. First That's, up.
See the drum roll clearing my throat.
I have them on little pieces of paper here. First up, we have Sarah Riley.
All right, Sarah.
Sarah Riley is winner number 1.
Okay.
Second, we have Carrie Black.
All right, Carrie
with the C-A-R-R-I-E, Black.
Okay, Carrie.
Next, we have Kathy Lawless Logan.
All right. Lawless Kathy. Logan, that sounds like a great character in like one of those Paramount Plus shows.
Doesn't it?
Lawless Logan. He wouldn't take yes for an answer. All right, we'll get that out. Okay.
We're going to get that one. That's three. We have Barry Kaplan.
Barry Kaplan. All right.
Yes, that's, and here's our last one. Mitch, drum roll, Mitch. Okay, we have Judy Furness.
All right.
Judy.
So I'll be personally signing.
Wow, it was a lucky day for the ladies, by the way.
I'll be personally signing all of those, and we'll get them out this week for sure.
Yes.
Thank you all for participating in that. That's really kind of you.
I'll repeat them once more. We have Sarah Riley, Carrie Black, Kathy Lawless Logan, the best name in the world, Barry Kaplan, and Judy Furness. Yay!
Thank you all for the other 95 plus or whatever who wrote in. And you know what? Why don't we do one more, Lisa? And
one
we'll
more
do it this way. No, we'll do it this way. We'll do one more write-in, but this time it's to give the book to somebody else for the holiday season. Now, I'm going to trust people because they could lie and they could say it's for me, but we're going to write like some holiday. I'll write a holiday message as a gift for somebody else. So you tell me what to write, you know, that, think of somebody that you would like. The book is about hope, forgiveness, truth, and love. A really long, epic love story. You think of somebody who could use a book that deals with those themes, and you send us their name and the message you want to write to them as a gift for the holidays, and we'll get it back to you in time for the holidays.
We'll do another five. Oh, another five, Mitch.
Another
Hello.
Five. That's okay.
Nice for you. Okay.
I'll pay for the five. I get a good price.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
all right.
We got
so we'll do that between this week and next week, and we'll announce the winners next week.
Excellent. Well,
but it has to be a gift for somebody. Think of somebody else.
You can't keep it for yourself.
Somebody. Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all for that. Thank you, everybody on the road. I look forward to seeing anybody who's here in Florida or Cedar Rapids, Iowa, or Traverse City, Michigan, or where else? Or Toledo, Ohio, or many stops in Michigan, including Grand Rapids, where I'll be between now and the next 2 weeks. So please come out and say hi, and please know how much it means to me, every single one of you. I feel like I'm carrying a torch for Maury that he can't carry anymore, but I'm the ripple in the pond. When you throw the stone in, I'm one of the ripples that goes out, and you become the ripples as well when we get a chance to meet. So thank you. And hopefully next week we'll be able to do this from not from an airport.
Right. Anyhow, I love that you're in an airport. That's so Kathy Lawless Logan of you.
Yes. Yes. All right. Until we get a chance to speak to you again, don't forget the WeTuesdayPeople.com on the web to find out more about our show, WeTuesdayPeople.com. And with Lisa Goich, who produces the program, I'm Mitch Albom saying, see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Tuesday People. To be part of our conversation, join the Tuesday People community at WeTuesdayPeople.com. Subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode and share it with your friends. We look forward to having you with us every Tuesday because, after all, we're Tuesday people.